You will keep in mind in our study of the Gospel of Matthew that we are considering the answer to a question which was asked the Lord Jesus Christ. That question was, "By what authority do you do what you do?" And the Lord Jesus Christ answered the question of the Pharisees with three parables. Two of them we have already considered: the parable of the two sons, the parable of the vineyard. And we have begun a discussion of the parable of the wedding feast. Up to this point in our discussion of the parable of the wedding feast, we have identified the characters. Today, as we peruse our study further, we want to think with you about the program, God's program, for the kingdom of heaven as it is outlined in this parable. But because we are not all always able to be together around the Word of God each day, I am going to read with you once again the parable that we are thinking about. We did read it in our last study, and as I say, identified the characters in the story, the participants in the story. But now we want to read the parable, keeping in mind what it has to say about the program, God's program for this age, God's program for the kingdom of heaven. Notice the words, please. Jesus answered and spake again unto them by parables, and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage.' But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was angry, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go ye, therefore, into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.' So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, 'Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?' And the guest was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" That is the parable. The characters of the parable have already been identified, and time does not permit us to go back and list them for you today. We will make reference to them as they appear in various parts of the story. But the first thing we want to notice today, related to the program for God's kingdom in this age, is suggested to us by the king making a marriage feast for his son. Now, this phrase, marriage feast, has created a problem for theologians, for sometimes they are not real sure when this marriage feast, as described in this parable, would take place. The Bible does speak of the marriage supper of the Lamb in the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And when individuals try to make this marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that is, when they try to make the two the same, they run into a number of problems. If nothing else, one of the problems that they run into is a person's eternal destiny. Because if this parable here is typical of the marriage supper of the Lamb described in the Revelation 19, then there is no way for the eternal destiny of the soul to be determined until after the church is raptured and people are sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and suddenly someone is looked upon as not being suitable to be at the wedding, and he is cast out. And of course we know that that is a contradiction of the full, plain teaching of the Word of God. For individuals do not need to wait until some future point in time to know whether or not they belong to the King. they can know that now. For now is the day of salvation, says the Scripture. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, said John in his first epistle, are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I think the whole matter of where this feast belongs may be resolved if we keep in mind that the word which is translated by the two words marriage feast in our King James text is actually a translation of the Greek word gamos, which is also translated by our English word festival. Now, it may be a marriage feast, but it does not necessarily have to be a marriage feast. The Lord Jesus Christ, while he was upon the earth, emphasized the fact that the kingdom of heaven was going to be a time of rejoicing and feasting when his kingdom is established upon the earth. And I think if we were to use the word festival here instead of the word marriage feast, we will not have any problem of trying to connect it with some other event in God's prophetic program. The marriage feast is set, and the next thing that follows, if we pursue our program in the text, is that invitations to the feast were issued. The first invitation is not actually described in our text. It is implied by the word bidden. They were bidden in the past sometime to this marriage feast, to this time of festival. In the second invitation, the servants were sent out to invite those who were already bidden to the feast. And, of course, that would indicate that there was a previous invitation. This word bidden is an interesting word. It's the translation of the Greek word keklamenos, which means that these individuals had been called at another time. They had been called specifically, just as definitely as if they had received a personal invitation from the king. All of that is bound up in the word bidden. So these individuals who had received the first invitation could not treat this invitation in any manner which they wished, because this was an invitation from the king, and it was something that was meant to be considered seriously. Now, of course, what went on here in the parable, as described, was according to Oriental custom. It might seem a bit strange to us, but it was not to the people to whom the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. It was the custom to send out an invitation to a feast, and then when everything was nearly ready, maybe a matter of days, months, or weeks, then another invitation was sent out to those who had already been officially invited. The suggestion was that it was time to come and acknowledge and honor the invitation which had been received. So the second invitation was sent out in the words, call them that are bidden to the feast. This word call is a translation of the simple Greek word kaleo, which means to call in the sense of a specific call that can not be ignored. This does not refer to an announcement in a public square, for example. It's a very personal thing to a special group of people. The feast is ready. The individuals had received a definite invitation previously. Now, the announcement was made. The feast is ready. The third invitation is described in verse 4. And there's a different word used here for the word invitation. It's not the word call, as in the second invitation. It's the word tell. And this word tell is the translation of the Greek word elpate, which is representative of a command. You tell them, said the king. It is as though the king was angry that they had not responded to his invitation in the manner which they should have. It was as though he was saying, you tell them, and tell them clearly, this feast is ready, and I expect them to be here. Now, in verses 9 and 10, the fourth invitation that was given is described by a word I am using to describe it, whosoever. The individuals who had not responded to the invitation, were turned aside, and messengers were sent out into the highways, into the hedges, and the marketplace. Anyone they saw, whether they were bad or good, whether they were top-notch society or not, in the terms of the parable, whether they were Israelites or whether they were Gentiles, whoever received the message could come to the wedding feast. These invitations were such, however, that they could not be denied. They represented a responsibility that could not be ignored. Now, here is the story of the kingdom of heaven related to invitations to the feast. We will be looking at the responses to these invitations in our next study. But that you might be thinking about them and meditating upon them, let me say to you that those who received the original invitation was the nation of Israel. Those who received that second invitation as sort of a prompter or a reminder was indeed the nation of Israel of Christ's day. Those who were invited from the highways and from the marketplace included you and me, and every individual who was not of the Jewish race. For God, you will recall, as John so very plainly puts it, sent his Son to the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And John records he came unto his own people, the nation of Israel, and they would not have him, they would not receive him. So John says, as many as receive the Lord Jesus Christ, there he's talking about those who receive the invitation from the marketplace. They that receive the Lord Jesus Christ have the power to be called the sons of God. And my question for you today, my dear friend, is this. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have not, receive Him now.